questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, all around the world, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to yet another edition from series of Q&A in Islamic beliefs from IRIB English Radio. Dear brothers and sisters, if you have been following this series of shows, we are trying to answer the doubts and misconceptions on the Islamic beliefs which are received usually in the form of questions from different questioners from around the world. For that, we have again invited a respected scholar, guest of the show, Sheikh Nur Muhammad from Qom Seminary School. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Many thanks for accepting the invitation. It's a great pleasure for us to have you here. The question of the day that we want to ask it from the respected guest speaker, Sheikh Nur Muhammad from Qom Seminary School, is about the marriage of the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with Lady Khadija sallallahu alaiha. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon her. It is asked that who actually asked for the who proposed this marriage first? Was it Lady Khadija sallallahu alaiha or the Prophet? And who started the first proposal? From which side this relation started? Was it from the Holy Prophet's side or from Lady Khadija? Does it mean that Lady Khadija sallallahu alaiha herself married herself to the Holy Prophet? This is a question that we want it to be answered here. Then we shall go in the next part of the question that is being asking about the difference and the gap that was available between the Holy Prophet and Lady Khadija, social and, let's say, financial gap that existed among these couple.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You see that if you go to the history, pages of history, you find some kind of explanation for the story of the marriage of the Noble Prophet with Lady Khadija. First of all, according to some account, it has been mentioned that the servant of Lady Khadija by the name of Maysara, Lady Khadija sent him to ask the, you know, to kind of show her affection to the Noble Prophet and to give some kind of positive acceptance, actually the acceptance of Lady Khadija to the marriage of the Noble Prophet. But of course, according to other account, it has been mentioned that the Noble Prophet Muhammad himself to be the, you know, actually the representative of Lady Khadija in that particular business, Noble Prophet himself started his, you know, tendency toward Lady Khadija, and Lady Khadija completed and show her tendency and affection to the Noble Prophet via Maysara. I want to say that, you know, according to different accounts, some kind of indication of affection and kind of tendency, you know, before every marriage, it is necessary to have some kind of arrangement. And this arrangement and have some kind of affection between couples, whether it was started from the Lady Khadija or Noble Prophet, it was actually mentioned that the Abu Talib, the uncle of Noble Prophet, asked for the proposal of Lady Khadija. You know, it has been mentioned in Kafi, Usul Kafi, one of the hadith, Shia hadith corpus. لما أراد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله أن يتزوج خديجة بنت خويلد أقبل أبو طالب في أهل بيته. أبو طالب, the uncle of Noble Prophet, he was, you know, beside other, let's say, relatives of the Noble Prophet, they went and asked for the hand of Lady Khadija. Okay? In that case, you know, Abu Talib gave a lecture, and in that lecture, he admired the traits, noble traits of the Noble Prophet. And he said that, for example, this Muhammad is one of the best in the tribe of Quraysh. And of course, he has some kind of, let's say, he has not too much money, وَإِنْ كَانَ مُقِلًّا فِي الْمَالِ فَإِنَّ الْمَالَ زَوْرٌ جَارٌ وَضِلٌّ ضَائِلٌ. But it does not matter, because financial ability of man is going to be perished, but what remain is spirituality and nobility of that person. What you know that ثم إن ابن أخي ممن لا يوذن برجل من قريش إلا رجح به ولا يقاس به رجل إلا عظم عنه. He said that there is no similarity to noble Prophet Muhammad. Nobody is like him. Nobody is similar to Muhammad. He is superior to all men, and nobody can be like him. So by this speech, I want to very briefly mention that, first of all, Abu Talib said that I will give the dowry. In that case, the Abu Talib recited the khutbah and the contract between noble Prophet Muhammad, and then the marriage was established between them.
So what is clear here that the Holy Prophet himself asked for her hand, right?
As I said, we have different account in the history. But what is famous among scholars that Lady Khadija sent kind of representative to show her tendency toward Prophet Muhammad?
I do agree with you, Sheikh, because, for a lady like Khadija, the Prophet might not dare even to ask for her hand if there was no tendency from her side. So actually, she opened the way for the Holy Prophet to ask for her hand.
Yes, of course.
So all in all, what we understand is that the Holy Prophet honorably will ask for the Lady Khadija's hand.
Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So what can we do and what can we say here with regard to the gap that was available between her and the Holy Prophet? She was a wealthy lady and she had lots of, lots of money, and she had lots of workers and stuff. And the Holy Prophet was a poor person, and the Holy Prophet was not that wealthy and that rich. So for a person to ask for a lady's hand who is from a very high social status, is it recommended to start such a relation and such a proposal?
I want to say that, of course, I agree that to some extent couples should be kuf. Kuf means to have some kind of similarity and to be in same stage. But I want to add to that that sometimes, because some people, spiritually speaking, their souls are very close to each other. They are, to some extent, spiritually speaking, they are in the same status. Because of that, we have the concept of kuf and similarity between the couples. And if you have this case, maybe the financial aspect of that is ignorable. But the other point is that the status of Abu Talib, he enjoys some wealth, and some financial capacity of Abu Talib was not too much low.
Yeah.
And because of that, he accept, first of all, Abu Talib, the uncle of Noble Prophet, he proposed to have the, this dowry upon himself, and he recited the contract.
So, Sheikhna, this kuf, having similar conditions, should be looked at from different aspects, from monetary aspects, from, social aspect, from even from the age difference. And we see that there were some, differences from different aspects of them. How can we actually suggest and prescribe this kind of, let's say, marriage to others. While she is more wealthy than the Holy Prophet, she is from a higher social status from the Holy Prophet, if I'm not mistaken. You can correct me if I'm wrong. And then the difference of age. She was, as it has been reported in some historical documents, that older than the Holy Prophet. Can we suggest such a thing to the Holy Prophet? Or no, what we receive from the history is not exactly what it should be. The reality is something else.
First of all, as I said, we have different historical accounts in this way. Some of the scholars, some of the historians, they mentioned that the age of Lady Khadija actually was not, very much far from the Noble Prophet. They were actually, to some extent, similar to each other. And Lady Khadija did not have any marriage before the Noble Prophet.
Okay? Very true.
Okay. As I said. But of course, other scholars, as you mentioned, they have this famous historical point that Lady Khadija was older than the Noble Prophet. But the other point I want to mention here is that the concept of kuf, as I mentioned in the beginning, if you have some couples, rationally speaking, if two couples, they can live with each other. Mm-hmm. They have complete, harmony with each other, okay? Mm-hmm. And they are matched to each other, even if they have some differences. Okay.
Yeah.
For example, financially speaking, or let's say societal, these are some differences. But if we have this is a core of the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
If they have this harmony, of course, they can go and have this marriage.
So one more part of this question has been left unanswered, Sheikh. Did the Holy Prophet really marry her for the sake of the money that this great lady of Islam had at that time?
Of course not. Of course not. Noble Prophet was not looking for her money.
Mm-hmm.
You see that, as I said, they are in fullest, harmony with each other. And Lady Khadija, she said that, Beiti Beituk wa ana jariyatuk. This is your house and I'm your servant.
They
did not have any differences. I want to say that they wanted to have this glorious life and they want to be one of the noblest, couples to each other. And at all, Noble Prophet, he did not look at the wealth of Lady Khadija and he was not looking for any other mundane a purpose or, anything related to that.
So you mean that she willingly sacrificed her own life and wealth to the Holy Prophet and Islam?
Of course, of course. Lady Khadija, because of the love, her life and her love and affection to Noble Prophet, and of course to the divine religion of Islam, she sacrificed whatever she had for the sake of Noble Prophet and his path.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as I said, she devoted her wealth to the path of Noble Prophet and the religion of Islam.
And there was not such an intention from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to marry a person, to marry this lady, due to the wealth that she had had.
Of course not.
Okay, thank you very much, dear Sheikh, and your respected listeners. We're staying tuned and listening to Q&A in Islamic Beliefs from IRM English Radio.
Inna fi al-jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي حسين وحسن.